This is what John writes here. He says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of natural descent, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. As I was thinking about this year's Christmas, the verse that kept coming to my mind was this, of John chapter 1, verse 14. That the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You know, I really like John chapter 1. It feels like a proper movie introduction of a hero. He is not revealing who the hero is, but he is giving all the walking shots and the shoulder shots and giving the glimpses of Jesus, and yet not straight away bringing Jesus into the scene. And at times, if you read John chapter 1, it just feels like that. And many a times when we celebrate Christmas, we don't focus on the fact that he lived among us. And that is not just the past tense. Yes, he came on the Christmas, but then he continues to be part of our own story. You know, many years ago, which I had to check, it was about 30 years ago. When I was about 10, I had an opportunity to see a lot of cricket. In fact, West Indies, an Indian team, was playing a test cricket near our school in India. And I had an opportunity to see a lot of great cricket players then. And now, certain names that I would take would mean nothing for a lot of people here. Like Courtney Walsh, Carl Hooper, and yeah, well, some people would say, yes, we know them. Courtney Walsh was really a good bowler. Anil Kumble, I saw Anil Kumble literally grumbling for a car he was given. I was standing right next to him. And then I saw Sachin Tendulkar. Now, if you know who Sachin is, he was one of the greatest batsmen in cricket. Yes, Mama, batter in cricket. And we were standing really very close. We looked at him. He spoke with us. He was, you know, we asked him random questions. I mean, being a 10-year-old child, I was not going to ask him about the philosophy of life. I don't know what I asked him. But I spoke. We spoke. And he was being a good sportsman. He stood there and spoke with us and all sorts of things. But imagine this. When I was standing there, he didn't look at me and smile at me and said, "Hey, hi, Sat. Nice to see you, man. How are you doing?" If that would have happened, I would have become a celebrity. Everybody around in the stadium would have said, "Oh, can you please give me an autograph? You're Sachin's friend." But that didn't happen. He was standing on the other side of the railing and we were standing here, because in India, you really have to have a security. Grounds in India are not like here where you can just jump over and get into the field. We have a big railings where we cannot cross. So he was on the other side of the railing, but we saw him. But that's the difference of a story of Christmas. God did not stay on the other side of our story. God did not stay far away. God did not stay on the other side of the railing, but he jumped into our lives. He became part of our life story by doing what he did on a Christmas day. And that is a difference that the story of Christmas brings to our life. Very quickly, I would like to focus on three things this morning that happens because Jesus came on this earth. And I I remembered Paul when I wrote Faith, Hope, and Love. But I was not going to talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But first thing that happened, because Christ came and lived among us, was our faith was fulfilled. We live in a world where people acknowledge that there is something. For many, they don't even put a name, God, to that something these days. There is an energy. There is a feeling. There is a strength. There is a power. But then people don't even put a name to that. There are people who acknowledge, yeah, there is God, but I don't know who that is for me. And yet, there are those who think there's nothing. There's no God at all. The world just runs on its own. And people back then were not different. It's not that we have a modern people have a modern issues and modern philosophies. We are just reflecting the old philosophies that existed then. People of Israel who had seen God being very active in their life, being very much part of their story, saw God in person when Jesus came down on this earth. And that fulfilled our faith, because God did not just remain someone up there who is active there, but then we don't know who he is and what he does, but he chose to come down and live among us. And that has fulfilled our faith, because we know who God is, because we know what God does, and because we know that he is real. You know, one of the things that I often talk about Christmas, during Christmas and Easter, is Jesus is not just a historical figure that is found in the Bible. There is a famous Roman historian who talks about Jesus, and he had no influence of whatsoever about from Jewish people or of disciples. He was far, far away from whatever was happening in Jerusalem, and still he mentioned about Jesus and people who are his followers. Jesus is a historical figure because he is real and because God is real. Second thing that happens, or that happened because Christ came and lived among us, that our hope is assured. You know, the word hope and assurance doesn't really fit well in the same sentence. You know, we might look outside every morning at in the sky and say, oh, it might rain today. I hope the sun comes out. And you're not sure. We might come out. I know this is often thing that happens. We might come out with really a lot of layers of clothes, and we go out in the market street, and then half an hour we start removing our one coat and removing our cap because the weather has changed, and because what looked like a cloudy day suddenly turned out to be a nice and sunny, bright day. But we hope for things, and we're not sure if that would happen. But that's not the biblical hope, my dear friends. It is a hope that is assured. It is a hope that comes with a guarantee, not mine, God's. And why? Why can we say that? Because in the Bible itself, there are a lot of promises that God has fulfilled. The whole promise of God coming down on earth and living among us was the promise made to his people about 600 years ago, even more than that. And that was fulfilled. You know, if you believe in, probabilities, you know, there's an interesting calculation that someone has done, that the probability of everything that is mentioned in the Old Testament happening as it is in the New Testament is very, 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 very rare. To the limit of being impossible. But that has happened. And because that has happened, our hope that we would have an eternal life is assured. our hope that our God is with us in everything that we go through is assured because Jesus came and lived among us. Third thing that happened when Christ came and lived among us was that love lived on this earth. You know, the love that we understand is not the love that the Bible talks about. The love, the way we understand, is the love that is out of our comfort, that is within our comfort zone. If I knock at someone's door at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, I need some time, will you sit and chat with me? I'm not sure how many of us would welcome that idea. That is such a strange thing. 3 o'clock in the morning. Who does that? But love is sacrifice. There is no love without sacrifice. The whole aspect of Christ coming down to earth was always part of a bigger plan of his sacrifice. And the story just didn't end there. We know that. But he came to show us what love is. You know, someone asked recently in the cafe, that happens every Friday, 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, you can come. Welcome, open for everyone. Someone asked, doesn't it feel so cruel that God had to send his son to die on the cross? It does, in a way. But how would we have understood about his love? We could have read about it, but then wouldn't have understood because it's just the word. But Christ coming down and living among us is the love that is lived. We would have a lovely time this afternoon, I'm sure. We have things that are planned, turkey, maybe some other sort of meat, a big table with a lot of foods and presents that we might have opened or not opened and all sorts. And I'm not going to say, oh, that is not so important. It is all important because that's us as a family sitting around and growing together. But as we do that, let's also ask ourselves, how are we showing that love of God within our family? I am aware at this time that there are families that are broken. There are people, they adamantly come on a Christmas day because it's a Christmas time. Let's sit around the table and eat food together, but let's not talk about anything else, or let's not talk with each other for the rest of the year, but let's come back on a Christmas day, let's have a meal together. But that's not love, my friends. That's not what God taught us. He coming down on earth to live among us is to show that we have to sacrifice. And as we celebrate Christmas, let's do that. And maybe if you're someone here this morning who thinks, oh, that's a good thing, but that's not for me. My dear friends, God loves you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, however you are, God loves you. God loves you now. If there are certain circumstances and situations that you might be going through, I would say just commit that in God's hand. I am not saying that you will 100% have a success rate in everything and everything that you pray for you would receive. But I would certainly can say that you would experience God's peace and that God's plan would be fulfilled in your life. You know, as we celebrate this Christmas, let's open our lives, our hearts, to make our life his dwelling place, so that we would live a life that is fueled by faith, that burns with hope, and that sheds the light of love of God in and through our lives. Amen.